Welcome to Gardening Talk, back on 2NURFM. Greg Richard, joined by Judy Sharp today. Great to see you back with us, Judy.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be back.
Good to be back after a couple of weeks.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And what do you got lined up for us today, Judy?
Oh, lots of things we
can talk about. There's a big list you brought in today.
There's a big list I've brought in today because, you know, we're kind of getting on to change of seasons now.
Well, it was a bit of a cold snap over the weekend.
Yeah, it's getting very cold out there again now, actually.
All right, cool. Glad we're inside.
Yeah, we're going to talk about several things. A long list, as you said. We can talk about pansies. We can talk about strawberries. We can talk about indoor plants. So we should be up and running. What do you think?
We've got plenty of things we can look at.
Yeah, yeah.
And Judy, we're talking, well, pansies is one of the topics you want to talk about today.
Oh, yes, certainly, Greg. Pansies are having problems.
All right.
They don't like the amount of rain we're having. So we call it damping off.
Yep.
So they start to damp off a little bit. So the secret is you've got to apply a fungicide. And I believe we're getting more rain in the next couple of days.
Well, it's looking that way, especially on the coast.
Yeah, they won't be happy at all, the little pansies. Because, you know, pansies grow very flat in the soil. So naturally they're just getting sodden. So grab a fungicide and apply it, and that should help the pansies survive.
Rightio.
Mm.
Pansies. And also you want to look at, did you say strawberries before?
I did say strawberries, yeah. Time to divide strawberries.
Divide them.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing people don't think there's anything to do in this kind of weather or in May, but we aren't into real cold weather yet, are we?
Not yet, although
it's not far away.
Saturday might tell you otherwise.
No, don't tell me about it. Anyway, so you divide your strawberries now and you plant out new runners. You know, strawberries have runners attached. Mm-hmm. You know, you grow those in between chilly time.
Oh, of course we do. Yeah.
And so it's time to plant out the new runners after you divide your strawberries. Easy done. And whether you're growing them in pots or in the garden, it doesn't really matter.
Okay. What if they're not running?
Well, I would imagine at this time of year, Greg, they are running. If they're not, that's probably due to the weather.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't had much warmth, really, have we?
No, not really. No. It's been a while since we had a day over 30, but yeah.
Well, that's right, yeah. But, you know, certainly you would find that they'll be probably behaving themselves and starting to get runners on them. If not, don't divide them.
Fair enough. Don't divide.
Yeah, don't divide.
We've got a caller too now, Judy, from Morisset. We've got Mary Ann, and she's got a question about the Hoya plants.
Oh, Hoya. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, Judy. Hi, Greg. I was given a Hoya plant, which I've never had before, and I'm looking it up. It's an epiphyte.
Oh, right. That's fine, yes.
Yeah, I was just wondering if I could just put the plant with some bit of soil in a crook of a tree.
Yes, you certainly could. Certainly can, Mary.
No pot.
No, well, keep in mind, though, the weather will deteriorate fairly quickly now.
Oh.
So maybe if you've... Is it in a pot?
It's in a pot, yeah.
Okay, well, I'd be inclined to wait until after winter now, probably.
Okay, before I do that.
Yeah, I think so. Particularly if you're going to put it out in the open and the tree may not give it much protection. So I think we'll wait on and do that when we get early days of spring, Mary.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you for your advice. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
And we've got Wayne from Warners Bay, and he's got fruit flies on his passion fruit at the moment. That's no good, Wayne.
No, Wayne, what are we going to do about that at this stage in the season? Hello? We have Wayne?
Oh, we seem to have lost Wayne there at the moment.
Oh, Wayne, very sorry. We'll find you in a minute, darling.
And we've got Jackie there from Scone. She's got a question about hydrangeas, though.
Hello, Jackie. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, what's your problem up there in Scone, apart from the cold?
Yes. Well, I've got it on the eastern side between the next-door neighbours. They've got a shed and then I've got the house. It gets probably a midday sun, but once I've repotted it, it hasn't... flowered again. It flowered beautiful, a beautiful pink, and now it hasn't.
Right, okay, but it would be going into dormant stage now, I would imagine.
But it didn't flower at all this
season.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So did you, when you pruned it, did you cut back to the double eyes?
Well, I actually didn't. I haven't pruned it because it's still all got beautiful leaves all over it.
Right, okay. You didn't do a summer prune, but
no.
We are only in May at the moment, of course. You didn't prune back then at all?
No.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you might find it won't flower now till you do the winter prune.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you that, but a bit late now, so, yeah, and if it's a lovely pink, do you want to keep it pink? You don't want to change the acidity
in
the soil?
No, I like the pink. It's okay. More of a ready pink, yeah.
Oh, it'd be beautiful, definitely. Yeah, well, just it's in a pot, so you're not changing the soil structure at all.
No.
Oh, that's wonderful. But sorry, Jackie, that's not good news, but we'll have to wait a little while and... particularly up there, what's your temperature dropping to overnight?
Oh, it was -2 this morning.
Oh, well, yeah. Gee, I would have really had to put a coat on my doggy up there, wouldn't I?
Yes, you would have.
I thought 10 was pretty cold for him, and I put an extra jumper over him, but now you've told me that, Okay, Jackie, look, thank you for the call and good luck with the hydrange. But
yes.
I think we're going to be looking for after winter for you, that's for sure.
Yep.
Okay, Jackie, keep in touch and let us know how you go.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, fingers crossed we've got Wayne back again. He's got fruit flies on passion fruit again, Wayne?
It was, yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
hello,
we got you now,
Wayne, yes.
Yeah, we haven't got... passion flies in the passion fruit at the moment because we've got absence of bees, so we haven't had very many passion fruits.
Right.
But when we did have passion fruits, we had first time I've ever struck grubs in the passion fruit.
Right, okay. Was that back in the summer?
Yeah.
Right, okay. And what did you do to deter them?
Well, we put baits out and we're using the normal bait that you get from Bunnings and things like that.
Yeah, the
and
fruit
some
fly
of the ones,
ones
off the
yeah.
computer.
Yeah.
But to no avail, really. Got some, but still seem to, the passion fruits get stung and looks like you've got a good fruit and then you open it up and a little grubby saying,
oh. Oh, gee, that's dreadful. And so the fruit fly weren't catching them? The kits weren't catching them?
They were catching some, but not, they weren't really effective enough.
Right, okay. Because passions are climbers, as we all know, but out there for the other listeners. And so you would have had to put a few traps along there, I would imagine.
Yep, we had a few there. And even with the orange tree.
Yeah. Like
your wife's got a grafted orange tree and it gets beautiful big oranges and we fight forever putting baits around there trying to deter the flies. We spray it and then all of a sudden... spray and rain comes.
Yeah, look, unfortunately too, you know, back in the day we would have used something that was stronger, as you know. We won't mention the name. And we can mention the name because growers still use it, incidentally. But that was the ideal way to solve the problem with that and tomatoes and any kind of fruit that the fruit fly attacks. But unfortunately, all you can do, Wayne, is this season coming, keep a sharp eye out. And you're putting your traps out early?
Yeah, we've got trapped out now because of the orange tree. It's ready to wait for a good little frost or something a bit colder to make the navels a bit more sweeter.
Yeah, right,
so
okay.
We've got the flies are flying around now. So we updated it with apple cider vinegar.
Right, okay.
And a bit of sugar.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, you know, you can, with your citrus, you could, you know, paint the stem or the trunk with your mix of Malathon and Vegemite.
All right.
Which you do for tomatoes. You paint their stakes. And that attracts the fruit fly and he eats the Vegemite. And, of course, the Malathon kills it.
All right. Yeah,
so
that.
I wonder if that might help you because you sound like you've got a real problem there, Wayne.
Yeah, well, I've got two vines and I could say, without the absence of bees, sort of thing. We
haven't had much fruit, no.
No, we've had thousands of flowers, beautiful healthy vine, and nothing to pollinate it. No, I even tried it myself. But
oh, you did. I was just going to say, did you do some cross-pollinating?
Yeah, because one flowered, and then it had a bit of fruit, and then it went, and then the other one flowered, and the other one had no flowers. So I couldn't really cross. No.
How long have they been in, Wayne? The passion fruit?
Probably 2 years at the most. One vine, the other one's there just on 12 months.
Yeah, no, they've got plenty of life left in them. Well, all we can do is cross our fingers for the next season. But, you know, maybe if you could just get some tomato steaks and put them along the passion fruit and try the Malathon and the Vegemite trick on that.
Right, yep.
Because it's just attracting them that, you know, wipes them out. But they do love to go and eat the Vegemite. Now, everyone asks me how much. All you do is mix up a paintable spread. So you keep putting your Malathon in your Vegemite till you can make it a paintable spread.
Yep.
Okay, try that and give us a ring during summer and let us know how it went.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of other people probably have the problems with the fruit fly, but like I say, it's the first time I've ever struck fruit fly in me passion fruit. It was last season of that.
But, you know, it does depend. I hate to say it, you know, if you're in a neighbourhood where people aren't real good gardeners and not deterring them, not saying they're next-door neighbours, but, you know, the fruit fly will travel some distance, so, you know, that could be part of your answer too.
Yep.
I hope that helps you, Wayne, with the next season, the next crop.
Another thing we can try, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And, we will.
Yep, that's an old favourite of mine and it does work.
All right.
Okay.
That'll be good.
Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, and give us a ring, won't you, in summer and let's know what happens.
All right, I will.
Thank you. Bye. Care.
Cheers, Wayne. It's Gardening Talkback on 2NURFM. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, 4921 6216, and we've got Victoria from Rayworth. And she's got a question about a bottle brush.
Oh, hi, Victoria.
Oh, good afternoon, Judy. Judy, a number of years ago, I was given tube stock of a bottle brush, but it is beautiful. It's cream flowering. It's not your traditional red or pink. And it's, nearly 3 metres tall now. Can I propagate that at all with a cutting or collect the little seeds?
Sorry, Victoria, I didn't mean to cut you off then. I got enthusiastic to give you the answer. I just missed the colour you said it was.
Cream.
No. They are, and that could be quite hardy to propagate, but you're going to wait until the summer or the spring.
Right.
Whenever you start to see, now, has it flowered?
It flowers all the time. It's wonderful.
Oh, right, okay. Well, what you will need to do is get the new growth coming out of the flowers.
Right.
Okay, and take that new growth. You want the tip cuttings, okay?
Right.
And take off half of the leaves and leave some on. And just do quite a few cuttings and try your luck with it. That's the best way to go. But the Rootex is very good, the rooting powder.
Yes, I'm going to purchase some of that.
Yeah, definitely, but let's wait till the weather improves.
Now, it's just so lovely in the garden to see it just covered in these cream blooms.
Oh, that's beautiful, and it sounds like it's very hardy too.
Yes.
Very good.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for that advice.
Okay. Look, I hope that works for you, Victoria. I'm sure it will, but it's just waiting out now till we get rid of the nasty weather, isn't it?
It's a touch cool.
I'm not going to ask you what it's like at Rayworth. We heard Scone was -2, so I hope you're not down that far.
We put the gas fire on for a little while this morning.
I feel bad now. I've left my creatures at home without the air con on. Thank you very much, Victoria, for the call.
And thank you for your advice.
You're welcome. Bye.
So we've got Brian from Swansea. He's got a question about spider mites.
Hello, Brian. Spider mite can be nasty.
Yeah, hi, Judy. Look, I got two dwarf peach trees and a dwarf nectarine. And the one that's in the middle, one of the peach trees, it's been covered in spider mite for months, and I just haven't had time to deal with it. The other two don't seem to be affected, but look, what I was wondering is if it would hurt it, if it would put it into stress, if I just pulled all the leaves off it and then sprayed it, because it's just, it's a lot of trouble trying to spray a whole plant and under the leaves and everything. So I just wanted to know if it would be safe enough just to pull all the leaves off it and then spray it.
Oh, Brian, I think it's too cold to do that, darling. I think you're right. It might put them into stress. So, at least try and spray it, you know, and get to what you can. I think that's probably the answer, rather than leave it too long, because, you know, they're very invasive little devils. What were you spraying it with, Brian?
To be honest, I can't remember what I've sprayed in the past for spider mite. I used to get it on my roses, but I haven't had it on roses for as long as I can remember. So I can't remember anymore what I used to spray spider mite with.
Might have been Kelthane. Does that ring a bell?
No. But the thing with Judy too is that it's just attacked the one, and I mean the two each side of it, and they're all close together. They haven't been affected. So in one way, it's sort of prevented them from attacking the other two trees.
Yeah, that one's been the victim, unfortunately. Are they all similar kind of peaches?
Yeah, look, they're all dwarf, and they're in pots they've been confined to pots for quite a while now, and the pots are probably around about 14-inch size.
Yeah, and that's a fair size though. But Brian, why don't you think about spraying down into the soil?
Oh, okay, yeah.
In that really bad one. Let's try that and see if it has any effect at all.
Right, and what do you recommend to spray it with?
I think what you need to do, it sounds like you're a keen gardener, and I think if you go through your cupboard and just check the products that are for spider mite.
Yeah, yeah.
And, use that and drench through the soil. But, came to mind to me Kelthane. You might still have some of that. But, you know, the problem is, Brian, there's so many things that aren't available on the marketplace now. But if you've got a few things in your cupboard, just go through them and check which ones you can use on the spider mite.
Right, okay. Well, I'm actually on the computer while I'm talking to you, so I've just looked up. In the past, I've used white oil. Oh, that's a white oil rose spray. Horticultural oil or dishwashing. Is dishwashing liquid and vegetable oil?
I think it's too bad. I would go for a spray that's dictated to spider mite.
Horticultural oil, neem oil or eco oil?
Oh, neem oil might do the job, but, boy, have you got that?
I don't know. As you said,
you've got a lot. I knew you were one of those gentlemen that had it all stored up in the garage. Neem oil is very expensive. It's only in a little bottle.
Yeah.
But use it sparingly, and it is worth, definitely will do the job. So have a go with that if you've got neem oil in the cupboard.
Yeah, righto.
Okay.
Yeah, okay then, Judy, thanks a lot.
Get back to
for
us,
that.
Brian. This is a mystery one, and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I talk to you about every 6 months.
I knew that you were a familiar one, a regular one. That's how I knew you'd have a cupboard full, you see.
I'll
expect
some
a call.
Yep. Yeah, okay, no worries, Judy.
Thanks, Brian. Bye.
We've got Dom now from Tanambit, and he's got a question about boysenberry.
Hi, how are you, Don?
Good, thanks, Judy. How about yourself?
Oh, okay. Sorry if you had to wait a while. We've got a few callers today and all with problems, so let's talk about your problem.
Well, boysenberry. I've got a plant. I've had one hand, like a crop full of handful of boysenberries off it.
Yeah.
So what do I do with it now? Do I cut it right back to the ground?
Oh, look, probably not at the moment. I'd be inclined to wait until spring now, Don. Look, we've got more bad weather coming, and if the plant's happy at the moment, I wouldn't cut it away.
All right. And so, because I've read about perma canes and other types of canes, but it doesn't really matter, just cut it all the way back?
Yes, I would, when the spring comes. Definitely not now. Mm. But you're doing well to cultivate boysenberries.
Well, I bought it just somewhere at a flea market, and it was $5 for the plant, and I thought, I'll put it in the ground. If it grows, it grows. So I put it in the ground, and it came away, and then I cut it back last season, and I got my handful of boysenberries. So this coming spring I'll do it again. What do I feed it with, do you reckon?
Oh, boysenberry, look, something fairly neutral. Do you use Bounce Back at all? It's a pelleted...
I've got some, like, Charlie Cartwright, about the only experience I've got with fertilisers, but...
Oh, no, we need something a bit... go and you will find Bounce Back to buy, and it comes in various size bags, but it's a product that's neutral and you can use it anywhere on your garden. So it's a handy one to have for fruiting.
All right. Can I use it on blood oranges?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, well, I'll get some Bounce Back and have a go with that.
Okay, rightio. Good luck with that, Don, but I'd wait a little while. You're doing well to grow them.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm buoyed up.
Thank you, Don. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
Ross from Tilba Bay, and he's got a question about roses.
Hello, Ross, my favourite subject. Oh, I love roses.
So do I, Judy, so do I.
Oh, they're fabulous plants, aren't they?
Yes, but I've had to dig two out due to some maintenance work that went under the garden.
Right.
Now, what I'm asking is, when is the best time to buy replacement ones and plant them that they're going to, you know, have the best hope in surviving?
Ross, I'm glad you brought this up today because when I was wandering around a supermarket recently, I noticed they had a lot of roses inside and they were fairly leggy. And that doesn't mean they wouldn't grow, but buying roses early doesn't give them the best chance. You should never plant roses until June.
Yeah.
And if any that are dug early, you know, out of the ground, which they are dug early, and they're dormant, often they will get dye back in them once they start to grow. So I think you should go and look somewhere reputable. I'm not saying the others aren't reputable roses. They probably are, but you're going to have to fuss and play around with them a bit. So I would suggest you go to a nursery that supplies a fair amount of new roses, and they will probably have good quality roses, maybe from Swains in Sydney, maybe from Knight's down in Adelaide, Trelaw's from Melbourne. Yeah. Any of those wholesale companies grow very, very good roses, so you need to find someone around our area that does supply those kind of roses.
Yeah.
Because
you reckon June is the best?
Oh, don't plant before June. Don't plant before June.
No. The garden can stay empty then.
Yeah. Leave them empty for the moment. You know, build your soil up nicely. Don't put manure in because new roses don't really like that. But I'll tell you my secret. I'm on the hunt for City of Newcastle. So I'm going to be ringing around looking for some City of Newcastle. Ross, they're a fabulous red rose. And I've got two of my standard roses that aren't happy at all. So they're going to get turfed out and I'm going to put in City of Newcastle's instead.
Yeah, well, I've still got 2, 3, 4, 5... between the front and down the side of the driveway.
Yeah, now, are you looking to match them up, Ross?
No, not really.
Oh, right, okay. Well, look,
the ones I've got, they're all...
Are they standards or are they bush roses?
Depends on what you classify. I classify as standard is just like it grows to about a metre high.
Oh, no. Standards are grafted on a long stem. Okay. Ross, well, no, you
I
know...
I don't like those ones. Just want something that's going to grow bushy.
Well, you know what? This weekend I'm going to give you a job. Get in the car and just drive around and have a look at some of the retail outlets and see what's available. And while you're doing that, check out for the City of Newcastle for me. And Ross, I hope that helps you. Thanks for the call. And will you ring us back and let us know what you bought?
No worries at all.
Thank you, Ross. Bye.
Might have time for one more call. We've got Bob from Cameron Park, and he's got a pump spray solution.
Oh, hi, Bob. What can you help us with? Or do you need help?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Have you got a solution for pump spray or you need some help?
No.
Oh, right.
I bought from that big warehouse place a Sylvan 25-litre battery pump with about a 6-metre hose on it. And a wand about 2 foot long. So old mate was having trouble getting up the spray up his fruit trees. You can stand back with that. And it'll just spray the whole lot for you.
In
underneath the leaves and everything with it.
Oh, that was the gentleman with the passion fruit. Yes, look, I hope Wayne's still listening. And thank you very much for that, Bob. You didn't mention the name, but that's fine because...
Oh, yes, Sylvan, S-I-L-V-A-N. I bought it from the big warehouse.
Big warehouse, okay.
I didn't mention the name.
Thank you very much for that. I appreciate the call. And a lot of listeners will be looking for a pump of that value. Thank you, Bob, for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
Jesus, thanks, Bob. Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Judy Shatt, we're just about out of time. Only a couple more seconds left.
We've got so many things to deal
there's
with.
There's too many things you can talk about with the topics. We only did 2 out of 7.
We did. Okay, can I quickly talk about, because I've got a problem, it's time to divide Agapanthus and Clivia. But at the moment, my Clivia have been decimated by Clivia caterpillars. Now, the name tells the story there, Greg. They only eat Clivias. And Clivias are the most magnificent plant. You've got them in your garden, I know.
Ah, exactly right.
Okay, look, we haven't got time to cover any more today, have we? So I'll bring that up next week.